Okay, welcome everybody. Glad to see a good audience. So our talk is on patient engagement and barriers to healthcare, patient-centered medical home. Many of you may be in practices that are transforming, but you don't have time to talk to patients. So this was the focus, was to ask patients what they thought about patient-centered medical home. Did they know anything about it? How are they experiencing it? We have no relationships to disclose. This is a very large student team. It's part of a clerkship to get them out into community health settings. And a large group of faculty advisors, many clinics. We're happy to talk to you afterwards. The presenters this morning will be three third-year medical students. They did this work last year. Jonathan Eisenberg, Andrew Piper, and Caitlin Lawrence. And Jonathan is going to start with Aims and Methods.
Okay, starting with the aims and methods of our project. Our project aims were first to identify the services that patients receive or expect to receive in their patient-centered medical home, and second, to aid four specific practices currently transitioning to a patient-centered medical home model in identifying pitfalls in their transformations. We designed a survey with input from four practices, including one federally qualified independent community health center and three hospital-owned community health centers. Our questions were adapted from validated survey tools, and we conducted pilot testing with phone interviews. We divided our survey into six domains. Three general domains were demographics, healthcare services utilization, and barriers to healthcare. Three patient-centered medical home-specific areas of focus were self-efficacy, group visits, and team-based care. Our survey was conducted in patient waiting rooms as well as by phone. Phone surveys were targeted towards patients with chronic disease conditions, such as diabetes for the adult population and asthma for the pediatric population. Surveys were given to both adults and for pediatric caregivers. Surveys were available in English and Spanish. It's important to keep several limitations in mind when reviewing these results. First, most of our data was drawn from patient waiting rooms, and it thus represents a convenient sample. Second, although the questions were taken from validated survey tools, the questions themselves were not validated, and we found out after the fact that we think the language level may have been above that of the average patient. Moving on to results, first, the demographics. We collected 183 complete adult surveys and 69 completed pediatric caregiver surveys. This slide shows the age distribution of our adult patients. 15% are over the age of 65. This slide shows the race and ethnicity of our population compared to that of the general population of Worcester. Our patient population represented more Hispanics and fewer black and white non-Hispanics than the general population of Worcester. This slide shows the number of visits patients made to their medical practice in the past year. Over 50% of our survey population visited their practice more than five times in the previous year. This slide shows the length of time patients spent at their current practice. 60% of the patients reported having spent more than 5 years at their current practice. This slide represents the educational attainment of patients and the caregivers surveyed compared to that of the general population of Worcester. Our survey population was less well-educated than the general population of Worcester, with the majority having high school level or below. A.J. Piper is going to be next.
Thanks, Jonathan. So the next portion of the survey dealt with patients' perception of their own health, barriers to getting good care, and engagement in patients' own care. So when we asked patients how they perceive their own health, 70% of patients reported excellent, very good, or good health. But when we asked parents of patients about their children's health, 70% reported that their children had some form of chronic health condition. 52% of these parents reported their children had asthma. When we asked adults about their health conditions, again, 69% reported a chronic health condition of some sort, with hypertension, high cholesterol, overweight, asthma and diabetes being the most commonly reported. When we asked patients about barriers to getting good health care, we found that almost 30% of patients reported that transportation was a barrier that prevented them from routinely getting access to good care. When we asked patients about health literacy, we asked them if their providers ever used words that they couldn't understand, and a quarter of patients reported that on some occasions providers did use words that they couldn't understand. When we asked patients if they wanted to learn to improve their own health, we found that 80% of patients agreed that they wanted to learn more about how to improve their health. But when we asked patients if they believe that the main thing that affects their health is what they do themselves, we found that only 2/3 of patients agreed with that statement. In fact, 90% of them agreed with the statement, following my doctor's orders is the best way to keep myself healthy. We thought that was pretty powerful piece of evidence that patients tend to externalize the control of their own health. When we look closer at this middle column here, the main thing that affects my health is what I myself do, we can see that only 36.4% of patients strongly agree with that statement, meaning that the rest of people have some hesitation aligning themselves with that statement. And we view this as an important indicator of the role of patient empowerment in terms of taking charge of their own health. When we asked patients if they would find it useful to talk with others of the same condition, we were assessing interest in group visits where patients come and speak with one another about how they manage their conditions. And we found that 83% of patients reported that they would find that either somewhat useful or very useful. However, when we broke this down by age, we found that the oldest patients had the largest contingency that had no interest at all in attending these group visits. So if you look at 55-plus-year-old patients, you can see the blue brackets at the left side of that chart are not at all useful. And so we saw a large contingency of those patients not interested in speaking with others. So now Caitlin's going to come up and talk about patient views of the patient-centered medical home.
Thanks, AJ. So a big component of why we did this survey was looking to see how patients actually perceive the activities going on in the patient-centered medical homes. And like we've started to talk about, group visits is a big component of that, having patients with similar conditions come in and meet together with healthcare providers to kind of go towards a common goal. And also if patients even perceive that they have a team around them. So when we asked patients, were they willing to attend a group visit like I just described, we saw if they would never or sometimes or always want to attend these. And we also broke that data out by how these people reported their self-health status. And there's a lot of information on this slide, but the most important part here is looking at those who reported their health status as being the poorest were also the least likely to want to attend a group health visit. And that 60% of those with the poorest self-reported health status probably would never attend, according to them. We also looked at, for those people who were willing to come do a group visit, what time was actually most convenient for them. We found that the adult patients were most likely to be available during weekday evenings from 5 to 9 p.m., and not reported on this slide are also the pediatric caregivers who are most likely to want to attend a group visit in the daytime work hours on the weekdays. The next question we asked patients of if they perceive themselves to have a healthcare team, we see that 38% of patients actually reported that no, they don't perceive themselves to have a healthcare team. These are patients being surveyed in community health centers that are striving to reach that PCMH model. On the good side, almost 60% said yes, they do have a healthcare team. Now, a real contrast presents here when we ask patients, do you believe that having a healthcare team would improve health? And we had 97% of patients answer in the affirmative, either yes, somewhat, or yes, definitely. And then when we asked the same group of patients who said that they would be willing or would not be willing to work with a healthcare team, we saw that 83% said that they would be willing, but there was still that 12% that said they would not be at all willing to work with a healthcare team to improve their health. So although people do perceive that there is a benefit to having a healthcare team, we also see that there's still little hesitancy for people to engage in that care. So seeing all the data that we've presented, we'll bring it all together here. Transportation was the most commonly reported barrier within the patients that we surveyed in Worcester and the surrounding areas. Nearly 25% of the patients that we talked to had difficulty understanding medical terminology, and 18.6% reported trouble understanding written information. 81.3% of our patients reported wanting to improve their health, but still 33.6% of patients didn't believe that they were the single greatest factor in determining their own health. Like AJ said, this represents a general lack of empowerment for a specific subset of the population that we surveyed. 60% of our patients were open to group visits, and we found that 5 to 10 patients were the preferred group size for those we surveyed. Adults preferred weekday evening meetings, and pediatric caregivers preferred weekday regular hours. Also, like we talked about, patients reporting their poorest health were the least willing to attend these group visits. Almost 60% of patients did report that they had a healthcare team, but 97% believes that a team does improve their health. Most of our patients, when asked what happens in their visit, only report seeing their primary care physician and either denied seeing or did not put importance on seeing the rest of the people involved in the care within their clinic. Seeing all of these results that we've compiled together, we wanted to brainstorm about some recommendations for the future. For those patients that do indicate that transportation is a barrier to care, we considered opening up some more transportation solutions for them, such as instituting a shuttle service or using volunteers to try to get them to the clinics. For those patients that perceive a lack of control over health outcomes, we thought it would be a good idea to engage them in motivational interviewing to help increase their own idea of efficacy. In terms of group visits, the size that we would recommend is 5 to 10 patients in a group, and weekday regular hours for pediatric caregivers and weekday evenings for adults. And for patients who don't perceive having a healthcare team, if this is something that the healthcare center would like to promote, we really encourage you to communicate to patients and the rest of the community about team-based care within that healthcare facility. So we will have questions at the end. Thank you.